This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:47 right now. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han here this morning. And in the 2017 Best Countries to Invest in survey by the US-based consulting company BAV Consulting, as well as the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, Malaysia has emerged the clear front runner. Now, this was a survey that with 21,000 respondents in four regions, and they participated to discuss the investment prospects of 80 countries worldwide. Malaysia scored 30 points more than any other nation on a 100-point scale. What gives, Han?
Well, okay, now, real quick, okay, you've got, well, according to this survey, you've got eight different attributes that they're looking at. One, corruption, dynamism, economic stability, entrepreneurialism, et cetera, et cetera, or skilled labor force, for example. So when you mash all those together, you know, you essentially have Malaysia coming out tops. Now, I think this is important to highlight because so often we get bogged down by the negativity. You know, we look at what's going on out there in the headlines, you know, in the local front. We look at corruption, for example. We look at the mismanagement in corporate Malaysia, et cetera. And we think, why on earth would anyone want to, you know, invest here? But then when they've got this outside, or this survey from the outside looking in, saying that, hey, we've actually got a pretty sweet deal here when you compare these other 79 countries. You know, I think it's important for us to have that kind of context, that global context. Now, it's not just this survey. It echoes what the World Bank even said just a few months ago, back in December, that Malaysia is still a very attractive place for FDI, despite all the internal and domestic challenges that we face. So again, I think it's important that we kind of give ourselves a imaginary pat on the back, you know, for now. But then, you know, yeah, going through this list, you know, you do a skilled labor force, for example, or how business friendly the government policies are. They all are there to entice, and apparently they are attractive enough, at least to get us a top spot in this ranking here.
Okay, so this is coming up from the Wharton School of Business, no less. And I really wonder why there's such skepticism from Malaysians reading this survey, as opposed to, say, you know, global business people looking at this and saying, well, you know, Malaysia's got it all together. I mean, we're talking about a 30-point lead here. So we're leading the pack in terms of the one of the best places to invest in. Do you think there's a reason why we can't seem to break out and look at it from a global perspective? I mean, Malaysians as a whole.
I mean, you know, I can't speak on behalf of all Malaysians, you know, but okay, look, I mean, in setting the context right, this top ranking is in terms of, you know, investment, right? But then when you go through the other rankings, if you go check out the usnews.com, it's a pretty comprehensive survey and a site here. I mean, we are lacking in other areas. For example, when it comes to best countries for education, we are ranked 43rd. Okay, best countries for raising kids, 46. Best countries for women, 44th. So looking at all these, looking at all these other, you know, barometers, we are, you know, best countries to study abroad, number 62.
All right. So yeah, this is specific to investing.
Correct.
Foreign investing.
So looking at all the rankings that we have, you know, in terms of investing, and also best countries to start a business, we're number 3 in that survey. So those are the single digit ones. But in other barometers, we still have plenty more work to do. But so again, you know, I think context is important. Don't get me wrong. We still have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of improving. But do note that we are coming from a lower base. In fact, we are an emerging economy, you know, so we've got a lot of catching up. But, you know, credit where credit is due,
yeah,
as it stands, number one best country to invest in.
Yeah, I have to say then, kudos to all the government policies to make it easier for business to promote entrepreneurship, which is one of the criteria that this survey is looking at as well.
You know, that's why, you know, it comes as no surprise. You know, now, given the amount of politicizing that we do when it comes to this FDI, be it from China or from Saudi Arabia. But again, when you're from the outside looking in and you're able to scour the rest of the world, you know, you look at the economies where you get the most bang for your buck, again, not my words, is the U.S. News and Wharton.
Wharton Business
yeah,
School.
You know, saying that, hey, Malaysia is number one. Now, I think it's also important to note that in my conversations with various captains of industry, be it in the automotive space, be it in construction, piling, right, or you know, et cetera, you know, you do see the kind of demand for FDI. And when it comes in and seeing the kind of, say, tech transfer or value added that's happening here in Malaysia, right? Too often we take it for granted. Oh, they're just here. Or even recently I spoke to an outsourcing company as well, you know, saying that how we are moving up the value chain as well. It's no longer just call centers, for example. You know, so again, we have to be aware and conscious about the kind of developments that Malaysia and the strides that Malaysia is making on a global stage, you know, and I think we need to alter our perception and our context somewhat.
That's true. Well, there you go. Top of the list of the 2017 best countries to invest in. 7.53 right now. And looking at The Edge Weekly, this week's issue, Permodalan Nasional Berhad is said to be looking to merge Sime Darby's motor division with UMW Holdings. So PNB is the major shareholder in both companies. So PNB holds about 52% stake in the Sime Darby Motors division and about 58% stake in UMW Holdings.
Yeah, so the underlying headline that I'm getting from this is, you know, here we go again, Wyatt Omar doing his thing.
He really is shaking things up in Sime Darby, in PNB. We're seeing lots of news flow coming out from that. But okay, so let me get this straight. Sime Darby recently talked about spinning off its plantation and property arms to unlock value, so to speak. And under the main holding company, it's still got its logistics, it's got its motos, which is the biggest contributed to revenue as well. But now, and we've saw on the flip side, UMW also spin off its oil and gas unit. So what's happening here? I mean, is this all kind of part of a bigger plan of shuffling musical chairs?
Well, I think it's consolidating. I think that's the idea right here, or sticking to, you know, pure plays here. Because, say, for example, Sime Darby, right, if you go all the way back to like 2015, the Sime Darby proposed listing for its motors division, that was the talk of the town back then. But, you know, essentially, according to media reports then, you got a company officials saying it's due to the lackluster, market sentiment. That's what's prohibited the IPO for Sime Darby Motors. So now, given the recent headlines, you have seen the plantations and also the properties arms of Sime Darby take over the limelight, not leaving Sime Darby Motors, you know, in the dust, so to speak, at least in terms of IPO. But then now, if this report turns out to be true, you've got PMB basically pulling the strings, saying, all right, we've got this motors operations under Sime Darby and also UMW, and it's pretty extensive here. You have covering Ford, Jaguar, and a Porsche, you know, etc. So many of these brands here, at BMW even, right? So you merge them all together into one single entity, hence you can have the kind of efficiencies that you would get from a pure play unit, right?
So, okay, so Sime Darby Motors does everything from BMW, Jaguar, Land Rover, Porsche, as well as Ford and Hyundai as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And what about UMW?
Well, I think UMW
has the Toyota vehicles,
yeah, Toyota,
right? You've got the
right.
Lexus vehicles
Lexus
here.
As well.
But what I think is interesting is this the, you know, we're seeing the decline of the big conglomerate, right? As you mentioned, the spin-offs and the pure plays. Now we're seeing a lot more of the consolidation in just property, in just motos, in just plantations. Perhaps that is the more efficient way to do business, as opposed to thinking about a conglomerate and all the synergies that you can get.
Yeah, perhaps. But then what about the idea of diversification? Because if you recall, you've got Moody's, who then cast a rather critical eye on Sime Darby when the proposal to spin off its plantation or to list its plantation and property units. They say, what does that leave Sime Darby with? You know, just its motors and also its industrials operations, right? So now if, let's say, SIMW Motors and UMW Holdings, granted details are still pretty sketchy here. We don't know, you know, where this entity will be parked under, or will it be its own independent entity? You know, will it be listed? Will it be not? You know, so yeah, it makes you wonder then what will happen to SIMW? You know, what will SIMW's identity or core business be? I think that'd be a big question for investors. You know, and also looking at its shares, for example, it's been making a steady rebound now, going back above 9 ringgit a share. These are levels that we have not seen, or they were consistently seen from 2012 to early 2015, between 9 and 10 bucks a share. And then since early 2015, it came way down, but now it's gone back up above
rebound there.
Yeah, there is. You know, so now shareholders and investors now have to ask then, right? You know, what are we investing in? What is SIMW's identity? You know, in the past, we were investing in all these various operations, property, plantations, motors. Now what? You know, I think that's a big question moving forward.
Well, some news as well that Facebook has signed a deal with Major League Soccer and Spanish language broadcaster Univision Communications to stream at least 22 matches in English during the 2017 regular season. So what's going on? We're going to be able to watch football matches on Facebook now.
Heck yeah. So I'm obviously one happy camper now. You know, so look, right now, granted, it's just MLS. No offense.
What is MLS? It's the US.
Yeah,
US,
it's Major League Soccer. You know, that's a US soccer, as they call it, you know. But, you know, look, when you've got 1.8 billion monthly active users on Facebook, how is any traditional broadcaster going to compete with that, right? So, you know, I'm sure clubs, football clubs all over the world will be sitting up and taking notice. Hey, if we can reach that kind of audience, especially those that are under watch, like those in mainland Europe, not from the UK, across Asia as well, you know, I think they might be knocking on Facebook's door, like, hey, we want a piece of this.
But don't you think that these football associations, they make so much money from the broadcasting rights? Right? Why would they give that up to stream live on Facebook?
But if eyeballs are going to move away from these traditional broadcasters, in the UK, it's Sky, for example, right? If they're going to move away from it, I would rather watch it on my phone at my, you know, wherever I am, as opposed to rushing home or rushing, you know, to the mama stall to catch that game at that particular time, right? But then looking 2-3 steps ahead as well, if this kind of development takes on, right, what will this do for telco providers? They really got to up their data offerings, right? Because that's going to be a lot of data consumption. And what's it going to mean for the likes of Astro, right? Because many of the subscribers are now relying on their sports package. What's going to happen to them? We got to wait and find out.
Big questions there.
But I love it. I love it. Yes.
I can tell you're happy. Okay, we've got the 8 o'clock news bulletin. After that, The Breakfast Grill, the ambassador of the Netherlands to Malaysia, Karen Mosenlechner, will be on. So make sure you stay tuned right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.